This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Woohoo! Happy Friday, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
You better be done with that Christmas shopping, Glenn, because I am Jamie Jennings, and I am coming at you live from Santa's Satellite Workshop. Thank you very much, Big Jerk Face. I'm going to read that because you put it there. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 19th, episode 1066, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Friday, looking for the hippest way to start your holiday weekend?
Do you think it's safe for us to be up here? Thank you for making me a part of this.
You eat what you like, I'll eat what I like. Land ho!
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. So what's it like at Santa's Satellite Workshop?
It's really nice and warm. I say warm. Compared to the North Pole, it's pretty warm. We were actually really cold. I went to the zoo yesterday that's up the street from my house. It's Great Baby Entertainment. And we froze to death, my girlfriend and I. It was 57, and we were in, like, winter coats
winter
and scarves. Oh, God, it was ridiculous. We were bundled up like it was, like, the North Pole. So Santa's Satellite Workshop needs to head further south is what I'm thinking.
Is it busy with all the little elves making the last minute toys for the boys and girls at the workshop there?
Yes, we are really, really busy. I put the baby down for a nap and I start wrapping presents. And I do realize that it is 6 more days until I get the puppy. I'm so excited. New family member coming in, coming strong.
Did you get our box yet?
You sent me a box?
Yes. You didn't get it yet?
Obviously not.
Yeah, she'll probably get it
so,
today.
So, basically, I'm a big jerk because you sent me a box and I sent you a Christmas card? God dang it. One more. How many shopping days till Christmas? I'm such an a-hole. That's
we
terrible.
Actually, I will tell you one thing. You are the only one that we shopped for early. You're the only one that we actually shopped for early and got it out on time. So there.
Let me ask. Does that mean you bought something embarrassing for baby Lucas?
Well, it could. I mean, it could mean that. Yes, it's possible.
I have a collection. For those who don't know, I have a collection of items that Glenn has sent me and Jennifer have sent me for Lucas that include Minion stuff and the little eyeball guy from Monsters, Inc. T-shirts. Like, anything Disney that's for little kids, they sent it to me. And I love every one of them.
We don't have anything else to buy at the Disney store. It's all little kid stuff. Who are we going to get it for? It's just Lucas. All we got.
And he appreciates it. Wholesale, so thank you.
I don't know what we'd done if you hadn't had a kid. We'd have been out of luck. So
you'd have been dressing up your little teddy bears, Jennifer. All the Minion stuff.
I mean, I can only wear so much Minion stuff myself. I mean, I have to do something for something else, right?
Yeah, I love the fact that the first and second Christmases that we were, you know, friends and you guys sent me like a book on Seabiscuit and then a book on Secretariat and horse stuff. And now you send me baby t-shirts. I get it. That's how the world works. My brother actually sent me, my brother called me. Yeah. He was like, did you get the presents for Lucas? And I was like, yeah, I got an envelope in the mail that said to Lucas. And he was like, yeah, I didn't get you anything. I'm like, thanks. Yeah, your life.
You're
in 20 years.
On energy now.
Nope, I get nothing. I get it. Like
you're
my dad was like, my dad's like, what does Lucas need for Christmas? And I was like, well, you can get him this, and I'm like, anybody else you want to ask about their dad? Nope. All right. See you later. Bye.
You're just mom. Just mom.
Lucas
I know
needs
that
a Devico. That's what he needs.
He does. Thank you, Jennifer, for being the one to understand. Lucas needs a Devaku, and I can break it in for him. I think that's
right. Sure. It would be good and ready by the time he's ready to ride in it, wouldn't it? You'd have it nice and worn in.
Saddle would be just soft and buttery.
Right.
Jennifer, what's coming up?
On today's final Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition of 2014, let's curl up with some horsehair. American Boschker curly horsehair, that is, with Marion Herman, who has the breed highlight. Mid-show, we will enjoy a chat with the head elf at Kentucky Performance Products, Karen Eisberg. And finishing out with a flourish, Really Bad Ads sets the stage for a national loom lampoon-worthy holiday season. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Been a while since we did a breed highlight. I think you're up first today in the Daily Winnies here, Jamie.
Well, you know, we were just talking about perfect Christmas gifts, and Glenn, I know the box is coming, and I just wanted to thank you ahead of time for buying me the red Pollard Seabiscuit saddle that is currently being auctioned off, and I know you're going to be the high bidder, and I know you and Jennifer are going to wrap it up and send it to me, and so I do appreciate
it.
I mean, I'm good, right? So, you guys, check this out. There's an auction going on at Leland's.com. I'm going to post the link because you guys have to look at this stuff. It is a collection of more than 150 Seabiscuit items, including original race programs, signed photos, oil paintings, advertising material, artworks, books, prints, glass and chinaware, everything that has to do with Seabiscuit, including the saddle that Red Pollard rode in on Seabiscuit. Are you kidding me? I didn't even know that that was like around. And this guy named Chris and his wife Anita Lowe have all of this Seabiscuit stuff. Now, I'll give a dollar to the first person who can tell me who the hell Chris and Anita Lowe are and why they have so much Seabiscuit stuff, because we can't figure it out. I mean, aside from them like living in England and being business people, that's all I can find out. I need information. So, Jennifer, that dollar goes to you if you can book the people from Seabiscuit or find Chris and Anita Lowe and get them on our show. A whole shiny dollar bill. So they say that this collection is the largest in the world. It is rare to be, and this is the Seabiscuit Heritage Foundation President Jacqueline Cooper says that Chris Lowe's collection is the largest in the world. It's rare to be presented with an opportunity to own such treasures, blah, blah, blah. Anyway,
I'm looking here.
The saddle.
A lot. Lot 39. Forget the saddle. I'm looking at lot 39. Seabiscuit horseshoes from the War Admiral match race at the Santa Anita. Remember, that's the one in the movie, right?
Yeah.
The and horseshoes are up to $3,300 right now.
Yeah, $3,300. One is from the match race. It's like a frame with the two horseshoes in it. One is from the match race, and the other one is when he won the Santa Anita handicap. Tell me these are going to go for more than $3,300. And Red Pollard Seabiscuit saddle, hello, that has to go for, I mean, it's
well,
just,
that has
I
a reserve
imagine.
Of $5,000 on it, so it's going to start there.
Now, the auction ends on January 16th at 9 p.m. Eastern, so you've got a little bit of time to get your money together. So I'm put all that together. But there's stuff signed by Charles Howard, signed by George Wolfe, and, you know, that stuff, anything signed by George Wolfe has got to be so incredibly valuable. I can't even imagine. So, but you know how, like, he used to advertise so much and Charles Howard was so into, like, making everything a big show and all that. All these handbills and all these movie props, all this stuff is on there. So you need to go check it out. Portraits and etchings that he had done of Seabiscuit. Christmas cards with Seabiscuit in it. Yeah, Jennifer, I think, wants the two Charles Howard Seabiscuit Christmas cards. $300,
yep,
Glenn.
That's for me.
Pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm reading the disclaimer at the top of the Leland's website. It, keep this in mind, Jamie. Do not bid unless you intend to pay. You're entering a contract. So don't bid unless you intend to buy it, Jamie. Just don't do it for the fun of it. Okay?
Come on. I want it.
Well, there you go. There's your Christmas gift. Well, it's either that or Devaco. It'll be about the same price by the time you're done. Which
you know,
do you
want? The thing is, you're right. Well, I think that the saddle's going to go for a little more than a Devaco, but I figure it's two for one. I could have the Seabiscuit saddle and I could ride in it.
It looks pretty worn out, actually.
Slap that puppy up on Edward and let's go jump some cross-country fences, because a jockey saddle is super comfortable.
Oh, who? I mean, my Daily Winnie goes out to the person who else would get it today other than Charlotte Desjardins, who is one of the coolest horse people ever. And she set her second world record in the freestyle. We talked about the Grand Prix on Wednesday, and now she set the second world record in the freestyle with a 94.3. Now, get this, people. That's 5 points away from 100%, from perfect.
Glenn, did you see one judge gave her a 99?
Oh, really? Well, did you watch the test? I mean, it was just beautiful. Fluid and just and the music from How to Train Your Dragon is just perfect. I mean, it just worked.
It's one of those where she was riding it, and didn't you feel like he was listening to the music and keeping time with it? I wonder that about
musical
freestyle.
Did you notice she is one of the quietest riders I've ever seen? It doesn't look like she's doing anything up there. You know, it just looks like she's riding the ride, having a good time, and she was having a good time. You could tell at the end there she was kind of getting excited in the last couple of movements. Because she knew she had a good day going. But
it was perfect.
Yeah.
Tear jerker.
Are you going to head to, you know where she's coming next, don't you? Las Vegas.
I believe. I saw it in Las Vegas, and I think I need to go.
Might have to head up there. I know Reese and Philip are going to be there. They're heading
to
Las Vegas for the Yep, they're heading over there for the World Cup. Yep.
When is it?
It's in April, I believe. I think it's in April. But,
So
I have a little bit of her doing an interview on Horse and Country TV. So let's take a listen to what Charlotte had to say. Now, you need to know this. They're talking about Spotty, S-P-O-T-Y, Spotty. What they're talking about there is the BBC Sports Personality of the Year Awards. She was just at that. She came in fourth. But she was there on the red carpet in front of everybody and had to do a little speech and everything. That's what they're talking about in the interview. So this starts in a second here. This is from Horse and Country TV.
New world record, two in a row. You're amazing. What else can I say? And on Spotty, you're so famous. How are you feeling?
Oh, great. Yeah, obviously coming from the red carpet to here to yesterday. You know, obviously, I didn't know how Vallegro was going to be. He hadn't competed since the World Equestrian Games. So I went in there and just thought I'd have a nice schooling round, just, you know, take it easy, come out, had a world record, and I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. But, you know, I had such a fantastic ride yesterday. I thought, well, I can go in there tomorrow and ride for a bit more, and I just had a fantastic ride. I just got so emotional. He makes me so emotional because he generally gives me his all, you know, and to be a rider that you know you can go in that arena and you can go for what you want is incredible, and he just tries and tries and tries and tries, and he always wants to get it right, and I think the last centre line was really emotional for me.
I know, I've not seen you punch the air like that, but I have to say, 12,000 people on that stage at Spotty, this must be a breeze in comparison.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've never done anything so scary in my entire life. I walked in there and I wanted to be a nappy horse and run out really quickly because I saw that there was 12,000 people in there, and I was like, oh my God, I've got to get up on stage in front of 12,000 people and talk. And I thought, God, if I can do this, I could do anything. And yeah, definitely coming here has been a complete breeze, and, you know, just found it absolute, you know, great fun. And obviously always riding Vallegro is a pure pleasure.
And a very nice Christmas present for you, Vallegro, world record, not one, but two. You have to go and get on him because it's prize giving. I'm keeping her from her adoring fans. Last question, did you see in the crowd, there were some people going, go Charlotte, they'd written it on signs. So it was an amazing sign. It was amazing seeing you out there. Congratulations. Go and give Vallegro a massive hug from us.
Can I just say a massive thank you to all my fans that have voted for me at Spotty and, you know, here just supporting me. It's fantastic.
We did get behind you. You came fourth, which is absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
So congratulations. We're very proud of you.
Thank you.
And Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Cheers, Charlotte.
You're just out there for practice. you know, two world records.
If she wasn't so likable, you'd want to kick her in the shin, you know? Like, seriously, go in there and school around and break the world record. Well, I have an article that I found from Horse and Hound. Of course, that's the English websites are where you're going to learn all the cool stuff about Charlene Vallejo, because obviously they're there all the time. So Horse and Hound did a list of 12 things that you might not know about Charlotte Desjardins. And I'm just going to run through some of them real quick. The way to Vallejo's heart is with food. Apparently, there is nothing that he likes more than food.
Did you notice that when you see the pictures of him, you know how some of the dressage horses look really fit? They're almost racehorse-like. They're really fit and muscular. When you see pictures of Vallejo, he actually looks a little chunky. So I can see that. I mean, I know it's all muscle, but he's bigger boned than most of them.
Yeah, he absolutely is. I mean, I'm sure he's got big ab muscles, and that's probably what it is. But Charlotte says, actually, if Vallejo were human, he would almost definitely be overweight. She says that he would be independent and smart, too, because when you groom him, he's independent. Like, he likes to go roll and get dirty and then gets back up and usually ends up getting groomed again. But, yeah, she said he'd be a fat guy, basically. But people were asking if he gets turned out, and yes, he gets turned out at home through the summer and the odd dry days in the winter. And apparently Carl Hester's farm, all the horses get turned out, even the stallion called Utopia. Vallejo is naturally a hot horse, and he doesn't have any weaknesses. She says she's very lucky. She says he's not a worrier. She also says, now this is like a knock on wood thing, Charlotte has never fallen off Vallejo. Never fallen off of him.
Knock on wood. I'm doing it for her.
Knock on wood. Exactly. Let's see. She says her fondest memory with him, also because they call him Blueberry. That's his barn name, which is awesome. She says winning gold at the Olympics in London was the best moment ever, obviously. And then also the World Equestrian Games going down the center line. She said she was welling up going down the center line. She said, I never cry. And I was like, oh, my God, I haven't finished yet. Don't cry. I won't be able to see where I'm going. But she says that she knew he'd given all his all, and it made her feel very emotional. An average week in the life of Vallejo consists of schooling Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. He hacks on Wednesdays and Saturdays and has Sunday off. That's a great schedule for a dressage horse, and he gets turnout. But Vallejo is actually hacked out by a woman named Tricia Gardiner, and she was a member of Britain's dressage team in 1988 at the Olympics. She's 77 years old. And Charlotte says that mentally she thinks she's a teenager, but obviously physically this isn't the case. She finds it hard to walk and get on a horse now, says Charlotte. So she goes, she literally drags Blueberry to the highest mounting block she can find, makes him stand in a position which is good for her to climb off of. She messes around a bit, drags herself up, and she said she would, and this is where the British humor comes in, you would honestly look at him and think he was a bog standard happy hacker. And then he goes up the road with her, eating his way through any hedge he can find. She really needs some good grass reins to keep him on the straight and narrow. It's hilarious to watch. And then you put him in the arena and he comes this amazing performer. So that's hilarious. You mentioned, like, this fat horse taking this woman down the road, and it's Vallejo, and a woman that used to be on the Olympic team who's 77 years old. I just think that's so cool.
How many dressage horses or any horses could you do that with? Not many.
None.
That tells you a lot
None.
About him, doesn't it? Yeah.
It does.
Tells you a lot about
He's
him.
Awesome.
Well, speaking of really cool horses, we have something we haven't had in a long time, don't we? We have a breed highlight.
Yeah, we've got Marion Herman from the American Bashkir Curly Horse and Hidden Cave Ranch on the phone right now, and I'm sure she's going to pronounce it a lot cooler than me because she's got an accent. Good morning, Marion.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. How do you say American Bashkir Curly Horse?
Well, you're doing it pretty good. American Bashkir Curly Horses. Yep.
Well,
you're doing a good job.
Nailed it. That's awesome. Well, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us, especially this close to the holidays. I'm sure you're pretty busy.
Well, thank you for having me and talking about curly horses. I can always talk about curly horses.
That's a true horsewoman right there. We can talk about horses.
Yes.
No matter what it is. Well, tell us a little bit about the Bashkir Curly and what it is and kind of a history of the breed.
Well, it's still a mystery horse. There are pictures, really old pictures from ancient China, actually. And there are horses with curly coats on it. But still, they don't know where it comes from. And up to today, they cannot find the gene, what makes a coat curly. And therefore, there's also a discussion, is it a breed or is it a gene mutation? So it still a lot of questions with no answers. The curlies here in the United States, the first ones were found within the Mustangs. And the Indian reservations in North and South Dakota, there were many curlies over there. And then there was a family, the Demelli family in Nevada, and they started actually breeding them. And in 1971, they started the American Bashkir Curly Registry. So then, from then on, they register all the curly horses, and later on they also filed the DNA test. So now we can, I feel we can talk about a breed now because it's registered and they closed the books at a certain point. So we sort of created the curly breed.
So for those that haven't seen a Bashkir Curly, describe what they look like, especially in the winter time.
Well, in the wintertime, you cannot miss it because they look like poodles.
They do look like a poodle. Yeah, you're
yes,
right.
They are very curly in the wintertime. There are different kinds of curly coats, though. Some horses will have a really tight micro curl, and some have a more like a loose curl, or some have, it looks like crushed velvet. But then again, there's another mystery. Sometimes a straight coated curly will pop up, and that's really interesting too, and that's why it's still so mysterious what's going on with these horses, because they
where does the Bashkir name come from? What does that mean?
Bashkir is a area in Russia, and they found a picture with a curly horse on it from that area, so they thought that's where they came from. So way back in the time, they named them Bashkir Curly Horses because they thought that those horses from Bashkir area came to the United States. But later, they found out that there was no evidence of that. There was no evidence that they brought them over here, no journals, no nothing, also no fossils that they might have crossed the ice bridge. But then the name was already established, so they decided to just keep the name. But they might still be from Russia, from other areas, because there are curly horses there, but it's hard to find where they exactly came from. But the name was already there.
Okay,
so
that makes a lot more sense. But it sounds like a lot of it was from the United States, so I'm like, why is the name Bashkir?
Yes.
So go ahead.
They are the most curlies are here in the United States. That's right. That's correct. Yeah.
So you mentioned a straight coated curly. Doesn't that make it like a quarter horse or something?
Yes. If you don't know that it is a curly horse, then you won't see it. They are very stocky, especially the ones who go way back to the Indian reservation lines, and the Demelli horses. They are like a ranch horse. They between 13.3 and 16 hands, and yeah, they pretty much look like a quarter horse. Yep.
Is it me, or did I hear this, and it was a lie? I used to work at the Kentucky Horse Park, and there was always, there was a Bashkir Curlie that was in the breeds barn, and that was kind of how I became familiar with it. And did I make this up in my head, or are they kind of like a hypoallergenic horse?
Yes, they are hypoallergenic. Yes, most are hypoallergenic. But there are different kinds of allergies with people. So if you want to buy a curly horse because of your allergies, you always have to test that horse you are interested in, because every person can react differently on a different horse. Like people A can have no reaction on this horse, but people, the other one can have a reaction. But overall, they are hypoallergenic, yes, and even the straight-coated ones.
Huh. So,
and that's because of the protein in their hair is different.
Huh. Now, so basically, I see this Bashkir Curlie, and I have horse allergies, and I really love this horse. And it goes to get a vet check, and while it's getting the vet check, I have to go get the allergy test to see if it's going to work out. It's like matchmaking.
Yeah.
Or you could just skip going to the doctor and rub your face all over its coat and then just see what happens. I mean,
well,
that's an option,
yes,
too.
That's how we do it. If somebody calls us, like they want to come in because they have allergies, we send a hair sample, and then they can test it on their arm and see if they have an, if they break out.
Yeah,
or
the arm's probably a better bet than the face, guys.
Yeah,
says,
yeah, I would start with your arm, yeah.
That's probably a better bet. What about personality-wise? Are they, you know, what are they like personality-wise?
They are really people-orientated. And this is all overall, of course, like in any breed.
Yeah.
And they are extremely curious. They always want to see what's going on and what you're doing. And what the most interesting part is that they think before they act. So if you do run into something that spooks them, they will freeze, they will look at it, and then they either decide, like, oh, this is nothing, which is usually the case, but then you have time to recoup. Then you have time to act on what they see or what they're doing. So they're really smart. They don't want to waste any energy or something that they don't want to spook out, and it turns out it's nothing. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, no kidding. Noticing the mane, it's like you were saying, it's you were describing the different hair coats, and it sounds like a bunch of different women, you know, tight curls, loose curls, whatever you're going to go for. How do you take care of it? Can you comb it out? Does it get tangled? Do you put product in it? Are we gelling this stuff? Like, how are you handling it?
Like here on our ranch here at the Hidden Cave, we have gated and non-gated curlies. That's another thing. There are gated horses, yes. My gated stallion, he has dreadlocks. So you cannot comb them. You can just put some almond oil in it or some conditioner and just brush it out with your fingers. And that's basically with all the curlies, though. You never brush them. I mean, I have curly hair myself. If I brush my hair, I look worse than Tina Turner. So you can only do something with some, like staying conditioner or oil, and you just untangle it with your fingers.
So you can't brush them? Like we go out and brush our horse before we ride? You can't do that?
Yeah, not with not their mane and tail. You can brush their body, of course.
Okay, yeah.
But
yeah,
not
okay.
Their manes or their tail. Otherwise, they look like, exploded, like they have been
like a light socket.
Yeah. And some people like that, though. Some people will brush him because they like that. But, I mean, it's...
Oh, gosh.
But you don't usually brush their mane or tail. And on top of that, in the summertime, some curly horses don't have a mane or tail. They shed it.
What?
Really?
Yes.
The whole thing just drops out?
They look like it's called a red tail, just like in Appaloosas. So, and the mane just gone, and no forelock, so they look really funky. And they look even more funky because they have no mane or forelock, so their head look huge, because usually there will be some hair. So some people will be like, what is that a mule?
I wonder how many vets get calls when you first buy your first one, you don't know anything about them, and they lose all their hair. How many vets have to come out and go, oh, that's what happens?
Yeah. Curly horse, and those are, they call extreme curly horse. They are extremes. And when people have never owned a curly horse before and they do have an extreme, they panic in the beginning when they first get. They're like, oh, she's sick. They have a skin disease. Yeah.
Can you imagine the amount of fly spray you have to go through if your horse sheds its tail in the summer? That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yes, and that's why those horses, and you can help them a little bit with minerals and feeding programs so they keep their hair a little bit more. We have several extremes here, and they're doing pretty good. They used to live in the West, so where it's really cold and snow, and so they would get really, really woolly in the wintertime and really bald almost in the summertime.
Wow. Is that a more sought after, an extreme, or less sought? Do people not want an extreme?
It's taste. I know breeders, they don't want them at all because they... Yeah, some people don't like
the freak people out.
So, new people who've never seen a curly and the first curly they see is an extreme. It's not really,
doesn't sell it.
Really, but on the other hand, and this is not 100% proven, but the extremes are really sweet, sweet, sweet horses. They are more calm than they already are, and I mean, everything is in the extreme. They have an extreme big heart. And but that's also not 100%, but 99%. If you breed with an extreme, you will always have a curly foal, even if you outcross them with another breed.
No kidding. So I'm on your website, hrcurlyhorses.com, and I think, is there an extreme? Is this a Santana, a Sorrel? Oh, yeah, Sorrel Extreme Boy. So there's a picture of an extreme, and you're right. There's, like, no mane and tail. It's crazy. Well, people can go on and look if you're interested in contacting you guys and learning anything more about curly horses. It is hrcurlyhorses.com. That's hiddencaveranch.com as well if you want to go that way. You're also on Facebook.
Yes.
So you're in Kentucky, and basically are curlies used kind of as quarter horses? They look quarter horsey. Are they just working ranch horses, trail horses? What is their main thing they are ridden for?
You can find them in any discipline you can think of. And I also want to mention that at the Hidden Cave Ranch, we also have a bed and breakfast, and we offer trail rides on our curly horses.
I've got to tell you, I'm on your website now, and I see the picture of the log house, the wood house for the bed and breakfast.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Can you send that down to Florida? I want one of those. That is the cutest darn little house.
Yes.
I want that thing. Oh, that's so cute.
We are very busy in the summer, of course. We have a lot of families with children who come out here, and especially, of course, families with kids who have allergies. And we have several ponies we do riding lessons on, and if they are more experienced, we can go on a trail ride. We have trail on the property here, so you can meet the curlies. We are finally to the point now that we only have curly horses. In the beginning, we had quarter horses and walking horses as well, because it's not always a cheap breed or an easy-to-find breed.
Right.
But to keep them hypoallergenic and to keep the farm hypoallergenic, now we have only one non-curly horse, and that's my horse from the Netherlands, and he will never, ever leave. So,
love it. Love
it. That's great.
Well, listen, the website is hiddencaveranch.com and also hrcurlyhorses.com. And Marion Herman, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it, and I have learned so much today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Have a curly Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Have a curly Christmas.
I like that.
Bye.
That's cool. I didn't know anything about curlies, to be honest with you.
Me neither.
That's cool. It would freak you out, though, if they lost all their hair like that.
Oh, my gosh, I know, right?
Well, let's go next to one of our favorite people of all time. And she also lives in Kentucky and has been on our show many, many times and has been a supporter since day one of the Horse Radio Network. And that is Karen from Kentucky Performance Products, who's making her annual Christmas visit. Hi, Karen.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
All right. Do you know anything about curlies? Now do you want one?
Well, I was just listening to that piece, and no, I didn't know much about them at all. I always thought they were a little different looking. They always look to me like they're sweaty. You know how when a horse gets sweaty, their hair curls all up. But no, I had no idea about the extremes and the different types, and I think it's amazing. And I didn't know about the farm, so I'm going to have to go check that out.
Yeah, this is out in Kentucky. It's in Burkesville, Kentucky. So
yeah.
I don't think that's too far from you, actually.
No, I don't think it is. Huh?
It's a really cute, it would be a good place to go for a weekend.
I know, it's fun. I'm going to have to go check it out. It sounds like they're great horses, especially if you have a problem with allergies or something, you know, I mean.
Well, how's everything in Lexington, Kentucky?
Everything in Lexington is fine. We are all celebrating today because the sun has decided to come out. We have had just cloudy day after cloudy day, which, you know, we get some clouds and nasty weather in the winter, but not usually as much clouds as we've had this year. It's just been dreary. So the sun is out, so we all want to run outside and dance, you know, up and down in the parking lot.
Woohoo!
You know. Woohoo! The sun! It's out!
Now, speaking of Lexington, there's one thing Jamie and Jennifer and I miss doing, and that's going to Southern Lights at the Kentucky Horse Park. Did you get out there this year?
I haven't yet. I usually wait until the kids get back from college, and then we all make the trek out there. We've been doing that since they were little, and it's just a lot of fun. And every year it seems they have something different. And then, of course, all your old favorites are out there. You know, the 12 Days of Christmas is one of my favorites. That's an amazing setup that they have out there. And the lines are longer every year, I think, to get in.
Well, and then you have to go in and check out all the little stands and the booths, and you have to get hot chocolate. And you have to wait till the coldest night of the year seemed to be the one we always picked.
Absolutely. And then you have to go stand in the petting zoo and pet the camel.
You have to take a ride on the camel. Yep. The last time we went, Karen, was with Reese and her husband from the Dressage Radio Show, and we got Reese on the camel. We have pictures of Reese on the camel. That's the last time we went. So.
I remember that. I think she was trying to make him do a passage, but it wasn't working very well for him.
It wasn't working, no. He just wasn't interested. So, and everything at Kentucky Performance Products, well, you came out with a new line of vet products here about a year ago, and how is everything going?
We did. Well, that has been very well received by the veterinarians. They really like it. And, you know, if you're the type of person that has a lot of questions or has a horse that has, you know, specific problems and you're looking, you know, for help from your veterinarian to pick the proper supplements for you, then it's just the perfect program for you. And we've had a lot of people that have just really enjoyed working with that program and like the products a lot. So it's been a great success for us so far.
Well, you know, 10 years ago, you could not ask a vet about nutrition. They would just laugh at you because they had no training in it and they didn't care. Do you think that's changing now? Do you think vets are almost being forced to? Yeah.
It's absolutely changing. I think that, you know, it's the small animal veterinarians have been doing it for quite a while. Of course, it's easier for them to do. They're in one place. And they can bring supplements and feeds into their clinics, and it's easy for them to sell. It's harder on an ambulatory vet because they only have so much room in their vehicle to cart this stuff around with them. And, of course, they choose to put in their vehicle the drugs and things that are most important to them when they're treating a horse in an emergency situation. So I think that they're all starting to see that people are, their clients are looking to them to have this knowledge and give them the advice, and they're starting to do some more training in the vet schools, and there's starting to be some more training afterwards. You know, the AAEP is starting to give them some training in these situations. So I think it's great.
Well,
I think,
Karen,
I'm
all the way out here in the middle of nowhere, West Phoenix, Arizona, and my local veterinarian told me that I need to put one of my horses on Nalox. And I was like, wait, I know those people. Nalux. So, and she orders it to her clinic and then brings it to you. So that's kind of how she does it. But just so you know, I mean, you mentioned it was catching on with the vets, Glenn, and it really, really is.
Well, that's great. And it's nice because the veterinarians, through the veterinary distributor network, it's easy for them to get the products. And they can get one bucket at a time. They don't have to bring in tons and tons of product. So it's worked out very well to have that partnership with the veterinary distributors. And it makes it easy for people to get a hold of the products. And Nalox has always been a big favorite of the veterinarians. Nalox and Elevate, our vitamin E, is very well known by the veterinarians. And they like this new product line a lot.
Well, now tell us, what do you do on the holidays? Do you do anything horsey besides visit the horse park?
You know, I don't. My kids now are coming home from college. I'm an empty nester this year. I sent my last one away to college in September.
Oh, is that right? Holy cow.
Oh, man.
I remember when they went into high school.
Time flies.
Wow.
It seems like they were just babies, you know, and I was dragging them down to the barn when they were babies, you know, and I had a stall that I had cleaned all out and put their toys in, and when I was doing my barn work, play in the stall, which was,
really
funny. Yeah.
Okay, and I'm taking notes.
Yes, I took them with me everywhere. Oh, I'll have to tell you this story if we have a second. It was hilarious.
Yeah, we have time.
When my daughter was 3 years old, okay, she was used to going down to the barn with me all the time. And I was sound asleep one Saturday morning, and she came in and said, Mommy, it was the middle of the winter, I'm going to go feed the horses. And I'm like, okay. And in my mind, she had been playing with these toy horses, you know, in the house. And I thought she was just going to feed her toy horses. And a little while later, this child appears back next to my bed, and she goes, okay, I'm back. And I reached out, and she was cold. And I immediately, you know, wide awake. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Well, she had her coat on. She had the dog with her on the leash. And she had gone down to the barn and fed her pony and then come back. 6 o'clock in the morning, all by herself. And I went down afterwards. I mean, you know, it scared me to death. I mean, how'd she even get out the door, you know, but she did. And went down and saw right where she had opened the feed tub, dumped some grain in, dragged the ground feeder up, stuffed it underneath the fence where the pony was in the field. It was dragged some hay up.
Of
ski, you know, you could
for
see
the
hay. Yeah, you could see the hay going all across the driveway where she had dragged this one flake of hay. You know, so by the time she got there, she had like two handfuls. And I was like, "Oh, I think we need to put like a higher lock on the door." But that's what she had done. 3 years old.
Well, she knew. She was responsible from the beginning.
Yep, right from the beginning. So
now,
watch
let me
out,
ask
Jamie.
You, though, is she still the responsible one, or has she gone the other direction now?
Oh, no, she's very responsible.
Yep. See,
oh, yeah. She's got her life under control, and she still rides. She's been riding intercollegiately and having a ball. So spends every weekend at the barn. So I live vicariously through her a lot.
You can tell she's responsible. My God, her pony was hungry at 6 in the morning. You got to go feed him. That's what you do.
She went out and fed him.
Now,
thank goodness we were back off the road. It was completely safe. Yeah. You know, there wasn't any. But it shocks you awake. You know, you realize that they've been outside wandering around without you, and you're like, oh, my gosh.
Now, let me tell you the difference, Karen. Jamie's baby Luke is what, almost 2 now, right, Jamie?
He's a year and a half.
He's a year and a half. He will be the one going out and opening all the gates and watching him run around and laughing.
Well, Karen, it's funny you say that because just recently he has learned to open the front door and to unlock the deadbolt in the front door. It's one of those twist-offs. Yeah. So he'll twist it and then pull the handle down. And yesterday I was like, wait, it's really quiet. And I was in the kitchen. Yeah. I'm like, why is it quiet? Because he went out the front door and closed it behind him and was out there. And my horses are in the pasture, and every horse is really good with him except for Jet. And Jet, I don't trust him further than I can throw him. And I'm like, where's the baby? Oh, my God, where's the baby? And he's out there just looking and pointing at the horses and laughing. Of course, the dog goes with him everywhere he goes. So he's out there with the dog, and they're looking at the horse. I'm like, somebody can steal you. Yeah, I mean, I'm back off the road, too, but there's still a loose baby in my yard. It's terrifying.
It freaks you out. It does. Your heart jumps. I mean, you
oh
just.
My
oh
gosh.
My gosh.
Yeah,
gotta watch
is the worst
once
thing.
They get mobile.
I know. But I'm thinking that stall thing, that's a great idea. I'm going to lock him in the extra stall I got back there. Here you go.
Oh,
play
yeah.
with the toy. See in an hour.
It's like a big playpen. So I would do all my barn chores, and I knew that the kids were safe, and they would sit in there, and I gave them all kinds of toys. And they played and played, and it worked out really well.
That's a great idea because he thinks he's super helpful, Karen, when I am feeding. And I started after kind of looking at y'all's website and talking, all my horses are now on beet pulp. And so the most fun thing for Lucas to do is once I drag the hose out and I fill the buckets of beet pulp up and everything, what he likes to do is he likes to stick his hands elbow deep in the beet pulp and pick it up and throw it to the chickens, which chickens don't want it because it's not sweet. But that's all he does is play in the beet pulp and make a mess of the little feed area I have. So I think locking him in his horse stall is a great idea. Thank you.
You're welcome. mothers with kids that have, you know, horses and mothers that have kids, they learn all kinds of neat tricks.
Stick together.
So that they can continue to take care of their horses and still have their children alive at the end of the day.
I appreciate your help.
Karen, we want to thank you, too, for being part of the Horse Radio Network from the beginning, for over 6 years now. And, you know, we've both grown together, and it's been a fun ride along the way. We've set all kinds of records this year. We just set a new one this week for the most downloads in one day in the driving radio show. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun, and we truly, truly do appreciate your support and everything that you've been involved with us, and we look forward to another year in 2015.
Well, we feel the same way. I can't believe it's been 6 years.
It has.
You started this. Came to
you
me
remember
with
when
this
I came
great
to you?
Idea.
People think I'm joking, but when I came to you, it was Helene and I, and we started one show, Stable Scoop, and I came to you and said, we have no listeners, but it's going to be something. It's going to be something. And you went along with it, and why you did it to this day, I still don't know. But you did, and people think I was kidding. We had like 12 listeners when we first started.
I know, it was hilarious. Yeah. I thought it was such a great idea, though. And Ed, Glenn, if anybody could make it work, you could.
I don't know if that's
so true.
Stubbornness or perseverance or what that is. But
I'm
I
knew it could be. Force
but I appreciated you being along. I really did. We really did appreciate that.
You were just crazy enough.
Yeah, yes, I guess. And here we are, almost 4,000 episodes. We'll hit, I think in the first quarter of 2015, we're going to hit 4,000 episodes and over 6,000 guests. And I remember you and I had the discussion because people were asking us, and you too, well, what are they going to talk about? can't keep doing a show about horses. And that was when we had one weekly show. And now we have 8 and daily shows, and we haven't run out of things to talk about. Look, we didn't even know about curly horses. So,
it's endless. And, you know, people that love horses are interested in learning anything about them that they can. So I think the topics have become endless. You know?
Well, and when you mentioned topics, I want to send everybody to kppusa.com and the tips and topics section, because I love reading these, and I've kind of used your tip. You have an article called "At What Temperature Does Your Horse Start to Get Cold?" And I was using this with my clipped horse out back as kind of to know when he needs to be blanketed. And Jennifer, Glenn likes to blanket his pony. He thinks his pony's always cold, and Jennifer gets mad that he blankets his pony too much. And I would like to say, Jennifer, that in the article it says here that smaller horses may be more sensitive to cold than big, stout horses.
Ha!
Glenn, blanket away.
Ha! So there.
Green light. Green light, my friend.
Hi, we're settling domestic disputes now. Yay!
Thanks, Karen. Now it's 3-1, I win. Ha!
Sorry, Jennifer. That was a fun article to write, and that has been extremely popular.
Has it really?
Extremely.
I posted a link to this and everything because it's true. You go to say that, you know, for the average horse, cold can be as low as 18 degrees for a horse with a thick winter coat, and the average one with a summer coat or a clipped coat is about 40 degrees, and 40 degrees is where I blanket all of my horses. But it started raining the other day, and it got a little bit rainy, and my clipped horse, he's just trace clipped, I walked outside, it's 57 degrees, and he was outside shivering. And I'm like, 57, obviously he's cold. And I look here, and you're saying that an 18-degree difference is when a clipped horse, when wet, will become cold. And it was literally 17 degrees. And this article is so right on the money with him shivering. And it made me feel like he wasn't maybe as big of a wimp as I thought he was, because
you guys
said it was normal.
Jamie,
people don't realize that them being wet makes a big difference, wet and wind. If they can stay dry and get out of the wind, they do really well in the cold.
Yeah.
Can you please post a link to that article on our Horse of the Morning Facebook page so I can show Jennifer every time she argues with me the article, and I'll print it out and post it on the refrigerator? Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah.
Yep. It's done.
Hey, I don't
it's
get,
done.
Karen, I do not get wins very often. I have to take them where I can get them, okay?
You have to celebrate them, right? You have to really dance in the end zone.
That's right. I am a horse husband. We don't win very often. We don't. It's just the way it is. And that way for
how is your
30...
pony doing? He looks so good.
Oh, he's so fat. We had to put him on a muzzle this summer. He's so fat. And he's doing great. His training's going well, and he's actually developing something that I never thought he'd have when we first got him, and that's muscle. He's actually got some muscle now. I used to be, if I didn't want him in a certain spot, I could just move him because he's so light and didn't have any muscle. You can't do that anymore. That little pony can push you around if he wants to. So, yeah, he's got an attitude. He's starting to, Hackney attitude's starting to come out a little bit now. But, he's probably the laziest Hackney I've ever seen. He occasionally will have an excited moment in the harness, but mostly he just is a plug. So,
because usually they can get pretty hot when they want to, those Hackneys.
Well, we discovered the key to that, and Jennifer whistled the other day. So he did have some of that early Hackney training where they try and freak him out. Because Jennifer whistled the other day, and he bolted a bit on me again. So we've kind of figured out what the triggers are now to create the bolting. So I know how to get him back now a little better than when I did on the road the first time he bolted. But I can get him back a little quicker now. But we're starting to work on desensitizing him. And, I wish they wouldn't do that wacky stuff they do with them when they're young. But he has that.
He's
looking great.
See what you did? It's what you get for asking. You just ask the horse person about their horse. That's all they'll do is talk.
We haven't heard the sound file yet. I am
but
shocked.
But you saw the funny thing. You've been calling himself.
My little pony. My little pony.
I was
he
waiting
calls
for
himself
it,
a horse husband and tries to act like, he's just a horse husband. But he's not. He's actually horse crazy himself. And you know that because, see, you get him started talking about his horses, and that's the end. You just sit back. And listen.
I hate you all.
So true. And what's really fun, Karen, is, and I don't know if you recognize the sound file or not, but Glenn likes to, when he talks about his pony, he calls him, "Mom, my little pony this, my little pony that." So we put this together in honor of him because he didn't think he actually said it.
My little pony. My little pony.
He loves his little pony.
Oh, you need to get him one. You need to get him a couple of little ponies for Christmas so he can have.
Jennifer won't let me have more than one. All right, Karen, we got to run. Thank you so much for joining us. Kentucky Performance Products, KPPUSA.com. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody over there in Lexington, Kentucky, and surrounding areas.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you guys, too. Love you.
All right. Take care,
love
Karen.
You guys. Love Karen. Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.
Oh, it's fun. It's always fun having our annual visit from Karen every year. Well, let's take a break. I know you're going to be shocked when I tell you this, but I was kind of getting sick of Christmas music here, so I have my favorite Templeton Thompson song. And besides, it kind of fits for the holidays anyway. We'll be back. I know you love the way it makes you feel.
Templeton Thompson, Stillhouse Jane. You can find all her music at templetonthompson.com. And you still have a couple days left to get some gift certificates at equestriancollections.com. If you're not sure what to get that horse person in your life, the entire world of Christmas horsey shopping is available at Equestrian Collections. And you can hop over there. They make it very simple and easy to buy the gift certificate. They'll send it out electronically, and you're done. And you know what? A gift certificate is a horse husband-approved gift. I officially declared it so. So you can nobody is going to argue with a gift certificate from Equestrian Collections when they can go buy whatever they want. EquestrianCollections.com. Get your gift certificates all the way through Christmas Day if you're like me and put off your shopping. Well, programming note, we are going to be back on Monday. It'll be the last live show that Jamie and I do. We do have programs planned through the rest of the year, but it's the last live show that Jamie and I are going to do on Monday, and we still can take your voicemails or sound files for Monday's show. We have about a dozen of them that we're going to play, but we could play more. We will also welcome your phone calls on Monday. It's just going to be a party. We're going to be here. We're going to be hanging out, playing some voicemails, chatting, having some fun. It's just a Christmas party on the air. We'd love if you'd give us a call also on Monday for Monday's show at 9 a.m. Eastern. We'd appreciate hearing from listeners. And we're just planning on relaxing, having a good time on Monday. So we'll be back for that. Tuesday, Kim Baker does a reading of another one of our listeners. So that'll be on Tuesday's show. Well, I don't know about you, Jamie, but I had all this other news to do, and I don't feel like doing any of it. How about just going to really bad ads? What do you think?
Let's do it.
Pay attention.
If you ain't
last
met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
It's the last really bad ads of 2014, and Jennifer is going to tell us what prizes we have from some terrific sponsors. And she has to come off a mute first.
Yes,
now
I do.
Can tell us.
Prizes this week provided by Redmond Equine. Redmond Equine Rock is the perfect way to satisfy your horse's instinct for natural salt and minerals. More than 60 minerals just the way nature made them, with a taste your horse will love. In addition to Redmond Rock and Redmond Rock on a Rope, try Daily Red Granulated Salt, salt that's perfect for adding to the feed. Daily Gold for digestive health, and First Aid for Horses, a natural healing clay for treating open wounds,
and they're all mined right here in the good old U.S. of A. You can find them at Redmond Equine. Also providing prizes today, Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls and Licky Things. Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls and Licky Things help to combat stall boredom by providing your horse entertainment in the stall while at the same time providing them with much-needed minerals and nutrients. Uncle Jimmy's has training treats covered, too, with Uncle Jimmy's Squeezy Buns. Every deliciously soft, squishy treat is individually wrapped for freshness, and your pockets don't get gummed up. Ask for Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls, Licky Things, and Squeezy Buns at your local tack and feed supplier or go online to UncleJimmy's.com.
And what horse girl wouldn't want to get a couple of Uncle Jimmy's balls for Christmas? Gilberto sent in the first ad, and it's very short and sweet, and it really is concerning me a little bit about the holidays coming up. Commercial reindeer pants and coat, like new, $90. Is this an omen or something? Something happened we didn't know about up at the North Pole?
I don't even understand what they're selling. I wonder if there's a picture that went along with it. But, like, why
commercial
would they be
reindeer
selling reindeer
pants and coat?
Pants and
maybe
coat.
Santa's going out of the Christmas business. I don't know.
Maybe it is. Andrea sent in the next one. Free goats. I tried to get into goat farming. I got a promotion to work and I'm moving. Please come and get these 4 goats.
There's a couple of goat ads today.
Get them out. Take them.
You know, every ad we've ever seen for goats are like, these things are not what I thought. I want them out of here.
Yeah. Every one of them.
Beth sent in this one. Thank you, Beth. Horse carriage, $400. Nice horse carriage, almost ready to ride.
That means it's broken?
Yes. Does that mean that they didn't put the seat on it yet or it's not finished yet? I don't know what that means.
No
almost
description.
Ready to ride.
No description. $400, you could find out.
Yeah.
James sent in the next one. Again, these are all really short and sweet. And Charolaise. Probably Charlaise, but they spelled it wrong. Brood cows. Charolaise. Brood cows for sale. And this is in Florida, Glenn. You should be proud. I have 10 cows. Heavenly bred, due to a registered Charolaise bull, $2,600 a piece.
Whoa, those are expensive cows. And they're heavenly bred. They have little halos.
No,
they walk around little halos.
That's why they're so expensive. So you probably should do a little research.
And they're high on caffeine, apparently, from the title. They're brood cows.
Yeah,
they're
brood.
Walking around bouncing off the walls. So if you want some heavily caffeinated cows, maybe that's what he meant, heavily caffeinated cows, you can find them in Jay, Florida, for $2,600 a piece. Those are some
or they're drunk.
Cows.
They're beer, brew beard.
Oh,
brew.
Oh, I never. Yeah, I was thinking coffee. You went that route. Yeah. Uta sent in the following ad. Now, try and just think about this with an open mind when I read it. Horse, $45 in North Fairfield. Red was born about 1940. Not as fast as he used to be, but he can still move out. Doesn't eat much. No messes to clean up, and no farrier needed. He's just wasting away standing in the stall, looking for a good home for $45. Any guesses?
I don't know, but it can't be a horse. No farrier
it is a horse.
Needed. And
it's an old-fashioned wooden rocking horse.
Oh.
45, well, broke, you know, born in 1940, not as fast, but he can still move out because the springs are a little worn out.
I guess you have to see the picture that goes with it to understand it, but I'm like, what are they talking about? Like, no farrier needed? He doesn't eat much? He doesn't poop?
Nope. This would be perfect. Perfect for Luke's first horse.
Absolutely. He's got one already. And it's kind of needy, though, because he loves to sit on this rocking horse. I'll post a video later on Facebook. But the problem is the damn thing eats through batteries. He costs as much to feed as my horse. Just
well,
with the battery.
I got news for you.
I'm looking at the picture of this one. No batteries needed. It won't be any batteries needed on this one.
Yeah, but it's not probably fuzzy and talks to him like his horse
does. No, it
does. And sings songs. I swear, I've decided that my child is going to think that everything talks to him and sings to him because he's got the Hug Me Elmo that sings songs with him. The damn horse talks to him. Everything with a child talks to them, and he thinks everything is a touch screen. So these children are so spoiled. Unbelievable. Ellen sent in the next one. 32-wheel horse, W-E-E-L. 32-wheel horse for $150. Oh, God, this is bad ad. Good machine star rye up. The only sin is the chain fall off need. To put back in Lil Projectoto. But other than that, everything works. Have a power lot of. What? What? Wow. What is that? I don't even know. Ellen, that's a good one.
Have chain fall off.
Have chain fall off. Need to. God bless him.
Apparently this poor person's not going to put it back on.
You know, I mean, even if you don't speak English as a first language, there's a thing called Google Translate where you can write down what you want and
maybe
have
this
it translated.
Was the translation. Have you seen some of those?
Really? Are they bad?
Yeah, they're really bad. It's really
it
bad. I have some friends that are French. They speak in French on Facebook, and I hit the translate button all the time. And you can sort of maybe get an idea what they're talking about. It's not good.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
Oh, our horse trailer of the day. Sent in by Bryce.
What? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, this is a bad one. 1978 Morris horse trailer for $400 in West Virginia, rural West Virginia. This trailer has been sitting for 2 or 3 years, or 20 or 30 is what I really think they meant to say. Since
two or
it was
three?
Last
this
used,
thing is ancient.
No. Since it was last used, took out floor and sides since they were rotted out, and have new fenders and steel for sides that will go with it. Has good title. Make offer. Okay, so this literally is one of those rounded front two-horse trailers like we have every week. But the tires have rotted away to the point where there's still rubber on the rims, but they're so rotten, there's just nothing left. And ugh. I guarantee you this has been sitting for more than 2 or 3 years, more like 20 or 30 years. This has been sitting like this. Oh, my
That's
God.
That's such a lie. I mean, that is just a bald-faced lie. Okay, seriously. I've never seen a trailer. First of all, there's a tie-down holding the door on. Do you notice that?
There's no
wall.
Jack. There's no jack at the front either. It's just sitting on the ground. And there's no floor or sides. It's just the metal.
We got to post this on Facebook and see what people's comments are for saying that it was 2 or 3 years since it was used. That is a total lie.
And they want $400 for this piece of scrap metal that you'd have to pay somebody to take away.
Glenn, it comes with new fenders. Hello.
Sorry, I forgot about the fenders. All right. You have the next one.
Linda sent in this one. Quarter horse sorrow stud. I love it when people write sorrow instead of sorrel. This is the Price, Utah. Quarter horse sorrow stud, Price, Utah. Year and a half old quarter horse sorrow stud with blue eyes and blazed face. One white stock on left black egg. One very friend and gentle asking 500. Year and a half old quarter horse sorrow stud with blue eyes and a blazed face. One white stock on left black egg. What on earth?
It's a very sad horse with. It's a very sad horse with one left egg.
Oh, poor little thing.
It's very sad. Thank you, Linda. Jessica sent the following one in. This is long, but it's good. Horse for sale, $1. Thoroughbred gelding, bay, 16 hand, up to date, barefoot, green broke, rides English and Western, mostly on trail.
horse was purchased as a project horse. However, this particular horse is outside of my skill set. I love how they say that. It sounds so professional when they say it that way.
Yeah.
He is stubborn, not just the kind of stubborn, but beyond stubborn. When he does not want to do something, well, good luck. He canters his left lead well. His right lead leaves much to be desired, literally, as in he will not pick it up. His personality is great when the wind is blowing 5 miles an hour from offshore. It's exactly 72 degrees on 3 p.m. on a Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. Anything of a variation from above, and you may meet one of the various other personalities. It's good at 3 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. Otherwise, let's answer some questions. I love how they wrote this out. Why are you selling or looking to rehome? The horse is not within my skill set. Has the horse been to a trainer? Yep. He's had 30 days with one and 60 days with the other, and you know both of them sent him back. This horse is hopeless to get him back. Is he sound? Good question. I did not do a vet check. He is not lame nor been lame while I've owned him. Did not do a vet check because no vet can get near him. Is he sane? See above description. Have you done any natural horsemanship with him? No, not really. Would he be good for a child? No, see above description. Would he be good for a beginner? No, see above description. Would he be good for an intermediate? A small possibility he may be okay for a ballsy intermediate.
If you can put the word ballsy.
As a pasture ornament. Yes. Why are you selling for a dollar? Because I do not want to make money off of him. He will sell first right of refusal as well as a no slaughter auction contract. He needs the right person. If you are still reading and your interest is piqued, please email me and I will provide you with more information. Do you really need more information? Do we really need more at this point? Wow.
I'm just like, you know, I just tried to read something like this. It's a thoroughbred gelding, a 16-hand bay. They didn't put any dang shoes on him, and he was purchased as a project, and nobody's been able to do anything with him. And it just makes you think, reading into this, that the right person just needs to get him. I mean, seriously. Just because
this horse has Jamie written all over it.
It does. I was thinking, I'm like, I'm reading this, and I'm like, I could fix him. I need him. Daddy, I need him. I want the pony. Daddy, I want another pony. I was thinking, like, I could totally fix him. It's just a misunderstood off-the-track thoroughbred. That's what he is, and I need him. I love him. He's a dollar.
And you know what? You like to ride at 3 p.m. on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it'll be perfect.
I know. But, again, that's their time frame. It may be different because I can fix him, just like a man, just like guys I dated. I can fix him. He'll be fine with me.
Uh-huh. How'd that work out?
Yeah, exactly. I had to marry somebody who had to fix me. That's funny. That's so funny. Jennifer, as Glenn was reading that, Jennifer actually typed to me, I didn't even see it, this is your next horse, Jamie. And it is, like, exactly what she was reading. I'm like, I should totally get that horse. Oh, my God. Thank God it's not in Phoenix. Where is it? This is probably, they didn't write. So, good. Probably in Florida. Lindsay wrote this, and that is so funny. You thought the same thing I did. You're like, that's my horse. Palomino mare for sale, $1,200 from Lindsay. Born on April 24th, 2011, Easter morning. Oh, wait, no. I got it. This clearly needs to be read by a teenager because I really feel like this is the type of writing that a teenager would write. Do you think so, Glenn?
Yeah, I agree. Yep.
Because they don't tell you what she's good at.
No,
and what
I agree.
She likes
this is all teenager. Yeah, probably 13.
They tell you what 13-year-old, what they can do. Okay. Actually, I think it's a 16-year-old girl. And this is why, because the last, the thing they want to trade for. Okay. Born April 24th, 2011, like Easter morning. Molly is not registered. And Molly is not perfect with her leads. She does not neck rein, and, like, she's not spooky. She's, like, bucked with me one time, but it wasn't even that bad. She, like, isn't mean at all, and she, like, isn't a hard keeper. And I'm open to trades for something with a motor. I want a car. I'm getting rid of this damn horse because I want me a car. I just love that she's
16.
Isn't registered. She isn't good with her leads. These things don't even tie together. She isn't registered. She isn't good with her leads. She doesn't neck rein. She isn't spooky. And she has bucks, but it wasn't that bad. She isn't mean, and she isn't a hard keeper. So, like, it's like a up, down, up, down. And I want to trade her for a car because, my God, I'm 16, and I just want to get out of horses and drive around.
Isn't that a true 16-year-old, though, mentality? Everything's negative, right? It's all the negative.
It's so true. And even they say she isn't spooky. But, like, that's a positive. But you put it like it's a negative.
Right. Right. I wanted to speak
to her. She isn't mean. She isn't mean. I'm being negative. She isn't mean. That's so funny. Good job, Lindsay.
Well, Orion sent the following one in. This is the strangest ad I've seen. I don't know if you can see the picture, Jamie, but this is the strangest ad. It says found cat snake. No, it says found. Yeah, it says found cat snake ? Found, and in parentheses, assuming pet. Some sort of cat snake. Long and nimble, but with dryish fur and cat teeth. Seems like to like cat food, but isn't a cat. Please come and take this off my hands. It smells weird. It's this picture. What is it?
Glenn, you don't know what that is? Oh, my gosh.
No.
You probably think it's a cat. It's a ferret.
No, is it really?
That's
somebody's
pet.
Longer noses.
No, that's a pet ferret. So they found somebody's ferret, and they're feeding it cat food, which is kind of what ferrets eat. But please come take it off my hands. It smells weird because ferrets actually have scent glands that make them smell funny. So that is the perfect description, a cat snake.
I haven't had that much experience with ferrets, so I guess I would call it a cat snake too, probably.
I know. It's like you wrote that ad. We should get you a cat snake. Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious. Oh, I hope that's a real ad and it's not somebody rehoming their own ferret. Because if that's the case, that's hysterical. And I have a friend that has ferrets, and I should send that to him because he would get a huge kick out of it. Amy May sent this one in, new solicitor or poster or whatever we call them. Another goat ad. 2 dozen free goats. I have 2 dozen goats that I need to get rid of. I had no idea raising goats would be this hard. That's exactly what you said they say. These little bastards keep climbing on my truck and have eaten the expensive turnout blanket right off my wife's insanely expensive dressage horse. The first person to get these damn goats out of here can have them. I'll throw in all their food, too. It's much cheaper than divorce court.
2 dozen is a lot of goats.
Oh, my gosh. They must just keep breeding because my next-door neighbor has goats. And I remember, I guess his dad drove their truck into the back to, like, because they're next door and I can see everything. The dad drove the truck in the back and was, like, loading some hay in the back, or they were unloading hay or something. And these goats kept jumping on his truck and, like, putting at their feet. And I could hear them screaming at the goats, get off the truck! Get off my truck! It's so true. They're like banging on the windows, and they're jumping up on they jump on the back, and then they were jumping on the roof, banging on everything, and I could hear, get off my truck! Damn goat! It's so true.
That one went to prize. That one's going to get a prize. Amy's going to get a prize
so
for that
funny.
One. That was good. I love that. My wife's insanely expensive dressage. of course, that could be $400, you know.
insanely expensive.
Yeah, we think everything's insanely expensive when we're a horse husband.
Well, this is the last one of 2014. Harold sent this one in, and it's appropriate. It's about a stupid cat. Found! Adorable stupid cat. Please save him from himself. We found this little guy in our backyard on 1217, yowling in the rain, even though we have an awning under which he could have been staying dry. We decided to feed and water him and put him in our cellar overnight. When I went to check on him in the morning, his butt was sticking out of the ceiling. He had thoroughly wedged himself between the beams and gotten himself stuck. I rescued him again and brought him inside, where I gave him a bath, narrowly escaping with my life. He is now asleep on my bed. Alas, I cannot keep him. This older model feline, 2 to 3 years, comes with all of these great features. Medium-length, silky black coat, freshly shampooed. Huge, soulful golden eyes that stare straight into your soul. speaks all 37 dialects of felineese and can sing, I think he's a tenor. Quality, deep, rumbling purr when contented. Litter box trained, 2 impressive testicles. And he's endearingly stupid. If you can give this gorgeous idiot a home, please call. There's our other winner right there. Great ad.
That's 2 impressive testicles.
We're going to end really bad ads for 2014 with 2 impressive testicles. How perfect is that, Spader and Gal Girl?
Fantastic. Fantastic.
I think
love
we
it.
Have our 2 winners. Amy and Harold both win. Let's call it winners.
Awesome.
All right. Well, that's it. That's been a fun year of really bad ads, that's for certain. Coming up in the next 2 weeks, look out. Jennifer's putting the best of really bad ads together as one of her episodes. So find that. And submit your ads. She has used most of them up now. So she does need some new ones. Start getting them in for when we come back in the first week of January. Send your ads to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. So,
oh, my God.
Well, that was
I don't know. I think the cat snake deserves something, too. We'll look at these. We'll look at them.
All right, we'll look. We'll figure it out.
Jennifer
will post you one.
Great title. Great title, you guys. Good job.
Cat snake. Thank you, everybody, for being involved. We really appreciate you sending your ads in all year long. It's been a lot of fun. We certainly have had a good time with them, and I know you have, too. Thank you to our sponsors who provide the prizes every week. Well, Jamie, we'll be back on Monday for our party. We're looking forward to that.
Woohoo! We'll talk to you guys then. Have a great day, spay, neuter, geld. Great day, great weekend. You know, get your shopping done, all those things. There's Lucas. Bye-bye.
Let's end with a little PSO.